Blessed be his name. I'm thankful that when he came, he revealed his purpose. You know, we could have wondered what he was going to do to us. We deserved a lot worse than we got, and that's for sure. Uh-huh. But, you know, he told us why he came. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life.
Amen.
And it abundantly. And so we're thankful he's keeping us alive today. Amen. And I like Brother James how he talked about those actions there. You know, I think I've preached that here before. Faith is a noun, but believing is a verb. It's something you do. Amen?
Amen.
There's action there. Amen. You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Right.
You speak the word and it'll come to pass. Is
right.
that right? There's something that Brother Bram said, you've got something to do with it. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're thankful God has always allowed us to be a participant in the kingdom. Amen. Apologize. I showed up late this morning. I just felt to apologize. I don't make a habit out of showing up late. So it's sad we live, Brother James, we live in a day and age where people were glad if they even make it to church at all. But we believe in showing up early and stuff, and we appreciate you all being here. I thought about preaching about an atmosphere, and maybe I will this Wednesday or something, but that atmosphere Brother Bram talks about, if you have an egg and you want it to hatch, for there to be a birth, there has to be the right kind of atmosphere. And so I trust you all came prayed up. I was up late, and then I was up praying in the night, and so I set two alarms. I usually have one goes off earlier, and the later one I set for 10, or I set for like 9 p.m., so... totally missed it after I went back to sleep. Anyway, so we pray you forgive us there, but we're just thankful to be here with you today. And before I prattle on anymore, if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and we are just grateful to be here with you all. And we talked to Brother Andrew yesterday a little bit, and we're just happy. Maybe I shouldn't say this here, but he's gotten invited to do some special meetings here up north a little bit, so we're just thankful the Lord's blessed him in his ministry with that as well. And so we just continue to pray for you all in his ministry. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start in the verse 10 here. Now Jesus has just gotten speaking to the multitudes, and he's speaking about the parable of the seed sower, and he throws the seed on the ground, and there's different kinds of earth that the seed falls into, and the disciples ask him a question. And it might be the question we could ask today. Verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? In other words, why do you make this so unclear to them? And it says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Well, hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, what did they have before? Well, they had a seed, amen.
Amen.
But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, now watch the condition of their heart. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Now notice who did the closed eyes here, amen. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say that many prophets, now think about the day that we live in today, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and they have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Amen. My, what a promise. What an identification of the time that we're living in. A time that prophets sought to see. Brother Brandon himself, he said this was the day that if he could have picked a time to live in, this would be the day he picked. Is that right? Now, how do we feel about it?
Right.
Let's have a word of prayer here. Father, we do thank you today, Lord, to be recipients. Lord, as you said, it's for us. It's not for the world. It's not for everybody, Lord. That might seem like a hard saying, Lord, but we realize today that there's a purpose in it, Father. We realize there's a purpose in hiding the mystery, Father, but just as there is a purpose in hiding the mystery, so too there is a purpose in revealing it to your chosen people, to a bride elect, Father. And we hear today, Lord, you had a thought in the back of your mind before there was one star hung in the sky, before there was one speck of dirt, before you, the fowl of the air and the beast of the field, before the days of creation. Before all that, you had a thought and a purpose, one great purpose, your prophet said, in the back of your mind. And we are here today fulfilling the threefold purpose of God, that threefold revelation of that one purpose, rather, that you would be manifested in a bride body. You'd have preeminence today in a people. Father, we're thankful you ordained these mysteries to fulfill that purpose. And Lord, we come today with thanksgiving in our hearts on this Father's Day. You've given us a spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Without that spirit, we could not call out to you and say, Abba, Father. But you've given us your spirit that we might have a voice to our one true Father in heaven. Oh, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we thank you today that we have sonship, that we could be called a part of your family today, Lord. Lord, what a privilege to be a part of the family of God. I'm so glad to be a part of that family. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful today. Oh, Lord, may we just give you a little time today, Father, on this Father's Day. Lord, every day should be Father's Day to a Christian. Every day is an Easter to us. Lord, the world's caught up in observances, but we're caught up in a resurrection. We're caught up in a life and a revelation of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we're careful now as we enter into the ministry of the Word now to give you the praise and glory. Lord, may everything that's said and done be for your glory and honor. Lord, may I just stand aside now. May you take away anything contrary to your spirit or your purpose. Father, we come before you now. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Father. May we just be vigilant and sober now in this time, Father. And we do thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 here, he says, I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And we'll come back to this testimony a little bit, but I want you to notice what he's speaking of is actually the testimony of God. Amen? He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was traveling to Illinois here a little while back, and I went by a denominational church, and you see this a lot of times. They'll have a sign saying that we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I thought, well, that's a novel idea. You don't even know who he is. He's a historical Jesus to you. They take this verse, and that's where they cite this from. And I want you to notice the context of this verse, though, because when you're telling somebody, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified to you, you're not exactly complimenting them. Now, I know that sounds weird, but let me read this to you, and you'll see what I'm getting at here. Verse 3 says, I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now we see why so many fall away today. They placed their faith, they had faith, but they placed it in the wisdom of man, a man's explanation, a man's reasoning, man's wisdom. Now there's two types of wisdom the Bible tells us. There's a wisdom from beneath, and there's a wisdom from above. And they placed their confidence. Come on, somebody. We see it all the time today. We just drove by here. My wife saw this parking lot over packed out. They placed their faith. Now, praise the Lord. Somebody's going to get quiet on me here. But they placed their faith in the wisdom or the personality or the charisma of a man, his education, his theology. That's where their faith's at. People go to a message church and they attach themselves to a ministry or to a program. And they place their faith there. That's why they fall away. Because they place their faith in the wisdom of men, not in the power of God. Amen? Amen. Look, I can be disappointed by what somebody does. I've had disappointments. I've had trials. But look, those things didn't save me. Those things aren't what's keeping me. I can look back in my life and say, Jesus Christ did this to me. God gave me the Holy Ghost. God saved me. God took that sin out of my life. God performed this. God made this ministry. I had nothing to do with it, amen? And look, you can give me explanations. You can print off documentation. You're too late. God has met me on those sacred sands. Can you imagine the people of Egypt going up to Moses? Well, praise the Lord. I love how I get started on this. I had no idea. You know, I was working on a sermon for here, and I'm still working on it. And I was worried about not preaching the same thing, because I come here and I tell you what, this is like a fountain here. I get sermons while I'm preaching here. I'm like, man, that's good. I'm going to use that again sometime. Amen. You imagine going to Egypt and you see Moses and you say, you know what? You're making that up, Moses. You're just worked up. You've been in the desert in the heat a little too long. You're just seeing things, Moses. We know who you are, but see, Moses, oh, hallelujah. Moses knew in whom he had believed. Amen. He had an experience with God. Look, Aaron, his brother, didn't call him. Pharaoh didn't call him. His mama didn't call him. His dad didn't call him. God called him, amen? God said, I'm going to take this man with his temper and his failure and his old age, and I'm going to make him a one-man army. And I'm going to send him down, and I'm going to stand in his shoes, and I am come down to deliver this people. Come on, somebody. That's where we're at today. We're not trusting in William Branham, the man, his flesh. We're not trusting in me. We're not trusting in Brother Andrew's flesh. We're trusting in the same God that met Moses, the same God that met Abraham, the same pillar of fire. His return, amen. And it's in the church today. And it's doing the same thing he's always done. It's leading us. It's guiding us. It's calling us. And maybe you're on a high horse today like Paul was. He'll knock you right off the high horse. He'll change your eyesight. He'll lead you in the way you're supposed to go. You might be on a path of destruction to Damascus. He'll take you to the place you need to go. He'll lead you to a man. He'll take you to a place where you can find what Paul found, where you can get the Holy Ghost like Paul got. Amen. That's why the pillar of fire is here today, to give us leadership in a time of darkness when there's so many voices. Trusting in the wisdom of men. God said, I don't want that. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now he says, how be it? Now notice this. Now going back to what I was saying here at the beginning. Now how be it? This is all true, but howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, amen, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Ooh, I tell you what. I went and sent my wife to... to get something, I can't remember. I don't remember what it was for. I mean, I was just being nice, probably not. But I was going to get something nice to wear the other day, and I gave her some money to go buy something. That wasn't for my glory. Actually, I take that back. It was for my glory. Hey, amen, because she's my glory. Is that right? I ordained that for her because I want her to look good because that makes me look good. Amen. Now you're all out. That's exactly what Jesus did. Can you imagine serving a God? Look, Moses understood this. Going back to Moses, Hey, buddy, going back to Moses, he understood as he stood in the breach before God, look, if you wipe these people out, people are going to talk about you, God. They're going to say you can't take care of your little bride. They're going to say you can't take care of your people. They're going to say things about you. God wouldn't stand for that, would he? God said, no man's going to rob me of my glory. No one's going to talk bad about me. Look, God will silence the gainsayer. God will not allow his glory to be destroyed. Amen. And he has invested that glory in a bride, amen? Yeah. That's why he's given you this message. That's why he kept you out of denomination. Yeah. He won't suffer men to handle you, amen? Yeah. He doesn't want a harlot. He doesn't want a flirt. He wants a virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, my. None of the princes, it says, of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, amen? Now, think about that. The understanding of what God was going to do, if they had it, would have changed their actions. Amen? Now think about that. Their actions, what they would have done, would have changed if they understood. Now what about you and me? What does the revelation do to us? Does it produce the same kind of thing we used to be? Or does it produce a change in us? Amen? If it would cause sinners who knew nothing about God, who hate God, to change the way that they would behave, what would it do to us? Oh, hallelujah. What's this message done for you? Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's saying this, and he's telling them now, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Amen. He goes on in the next chapter. He says, I couldn't speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even babes. Is that right? So when he's telling them, we preach Christ and him crucified to you, he's saying, there's more to preach to you, but you can't handle it. You're too carnal. Amen. But those that are perfect, amen. I'm glad this is up here. This is a good place to put that, amen. To them that are perfect, to them who've come to an understanding, to them who have matured, amen, there's a hidden wisdom. It was hidden before the world began. It's not for the world. Right. It's what Jesus told his disciples. Look, I speak these things in parables, amen. Because I don't want them to find out. It's not for them. It's for my bride, amen. I don't know about you, but I tell my wife things I would never tell. Probably a lot of you here, no offense. Amen? Because that's who she is. We have that kind of a relationship, amen? And God has modeled that in the bride. Now, you think about that for just a second here. God gives revelation, amen? And when God gives a revelation, he never changes that revelation, amen? When God gives a thought, when he expresses revelation, it's something he had reserved from before the foundation of the world. He doesn't have to change his mind like I do, like you do. He gives a revelation. He doesn't take away from it. He doesn't change it. But he can't add to it, amen. Now, he doesn't give a different revelation, but he can further the same revelation he had. Is that right? The book of Isaiah talks about this. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Now notice, he wants to express this, but he has to take something that's taken away from just the milk, amen? Somebody that's ready to put down the bottle and say, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian because I go to church. I'm a Christian because I say I believe. I'm a Christian because my parents were raised in the church. I'm a Christian because I got a dusty Bible on my coffee table at home," amen? He's looking for somebody to come away from just being a baby. And if he can find somebody that's ready to grow up a little bit, somebody that's ready for some steak, amen? Somebody that's grown some teeth. Somebody with some maturity, amen? If he can find a Christian that says, "You know what? I don't care if my neighbor don't want to serve God. I don't care if my family don't want to serve God. I don't care if my church don't want anything to do with it. I'll just tighten my belt a little bit more. I'm going to serve God anyway." You can go choose whom you want to serve this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God's looking for somebody like that. He says, "I'm going to take a people like that, and to them I'm going to give them this knowledge." Amen. I'm going to give them a hidden wisdom. Why? Because it's hidden somewhere. There's line upon line, precept upon precept. God doesn't give it all out at once, but he expresses the revelation, and then he furthers it, and he furthers it. He goes from faith to virtue to knowledge. Is that right? And he furthers it. Now, why is that? Because, I told you why, because God can't give it all at once. Amen? Can you imagine, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but can you imagine being in the days of Mary? The prophet Isaiah has already prophesied, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Is that right? A virgin's going to conceive, and now, can you imagine if the prophet Isaiah said that her name's going to be Mary? Do you know how many unwed Marys that there would be in Israel? How many men would have daughters and name her Mary and they'd be unwed? See how what the carnal mind does? It tries to impersonate the supernatural. Amen? Well, hallelujah. God wasn't looking for impersonation here, amen? Let me get back to my text here. It's here a little, there a little. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest." Happened on the day of Pentecost, amen? "And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear." Notice, not just they could not hear. They would not hear. "But the word of the Lord was unto them," precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, "that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Amen? Now notice, this is where I'm moving with this. God will take he'll take the scripture, amen? He'll take the word of God, and he will bring from that something that you didn't see before, amen?
Sure.
Because what I want you to understand is that God, his revelation is in the word, amen? Even Brother Branham, I think I talked about it last time I was here, even with those thunders, amen, somebody said if you could come and write another book of the Bible, I said, no, it was there the whole time. Is that right? It was hidden in there. God never had to go find an addition for his word, amen? It was in the word the whole time, but the understanding was hid, amen? But revelation would come. Revelation would come in the same scripture that you might have read for 20 years in the Baptist church. You might have sat in church for 30 years or whatever it would be. One day God comes. And he comes by his Spirit, amen? The same Spirit that you cry, "Abba, Father," with. That Spirit come that ye might freely know, the Bible says. The things that are given to you, he comes and he brings it to life, amen? Look, the letter kills, eh, right? Is that right? But the Spirit quickeneth, it gives life, amen?
Glory.
Brother Branham talks about the Apostle Paul when he took the prayer cloths and the aprons. He said he got that from Elisha in the Bible. Is that right? Now, the Bible never told him to do that, but the precept or the principle was hid there, amen? And I the thing I find most amazing about it is because when Elisha did it, it didn't work. Because the woman wanted him to come anyway, is that right? But the principle was there. Well, God can do that. Amen? Now, think about it. Brother Branham makes a statement here, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to move ahead here, but he makes a statement in Expectation 61. He says, "If you ever see any action here on the platform or anything that I speak on the platform that's not absolutely the scripture," he says, "you're duty bound to me as a Christian to call my attention to it." Yeah, sure. Amen? Man, shh. Boy, I tell you what, some churches don't like that quote. Man, the pastor do this wrong, this preacher do that wrong. Don't say anything to them. We don't want to make somebody mad. Well, he says you're duty bound to bring it up. Amen?
Right.
Now, we're not talking about nitpicking here. I hope we all understand that. You'll see what he's talking about here in a minute, I hope, by the grace of God. I hope it didn't just create a situation there. But I just find it so funny because some preachers or some men, it don't have to be a preacher, but some people get so upset when you question something they do, and I'm thinking, would you rather I didn't say something to you? The Word tells me to do it. Is that right? Look, we're not commanded to live in disobedience to honor some sort of a man. Is that right? If you've got a spouse or something, they're not a believer, and they say, well, you shouldn't go to church. Guess what? We ought to obey God rather than men. Is that right? Yes. Look, we are duty bound to God. Amen? And if we were going to be the servants of Christ, we can't be the servants of men and of God at the same time. Is that right? Amen. No man can serve two masters.
Right.
Well, hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
I tell you what. Amen. He says here, I do believe that God does things that's not written in the Word. Now watch how he says this. I believe he could do anything he wishes. He's God. But as long as he does what he's promised to do, that'll be enough for me. Just keep his promise, amen? I says, I like that. Apparently he's preaching to himself too. I do believe the Word of God is the foundation. I believe it's the Word of God and it's my stand, my life, and all my faith is based on the Word of God. And here's the way I want you to believe it now, that God is infinite, he's omnipresent, omniscient, he's almighty God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change and be God.
Amen.
Oh my, I tell you what. Think about that just a second. That was the revelation that Brother Ram said, that was the keystone for the church ages. He said the revelation that God doesn't change. Now look, if you don't have that revelation, the whole Bible is just going to be a mess to you. Amen. Because you'll never be able to say, you'll never be able to put your finger on the Scripture and say, that's a promise of God, amen, and God has to keep it. You can't have faith. Your faith in God can go no further than your faith in a man, because God can change his mind. Is that right? Oh, but God can't change, amen? So when he promised, when he makes a promise in the Scripture, and he makes a promise, amen, you can take that, and you can stand on that to the point where, you like Jesus, amen? Jesus so believed in one Scripture. If you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. One Scripture, Brother Ram said. There's only one Scripture in the Bible for it, and it was written by a backslider.
Uh-huh.
But he could so place his confidence on the inspiration of God that he said, if you tear this down, I'm going to raise up. He staked his very life on it, amen? And how much more can you stake your life, your soul, on every promise of God, amen? Oh, my. He says, whatever God does one time, he makes a decision. That decision has to remain forever. It can never be changed. If God makes a decision this year and next year he changes, that shows he wasn't God, because he's infinite and we are finite. Now, we can make a decision. Amen. Somebody here knows where I'm going with this. I can make one tonight and in 10 minutes have to change it. Mm-hmm. The more kids I have, the more I see that happens too. Amen. You never tell them yes or no. You always tell them maybe. And that means no. No, it just means I don't know what's going to happen. Amen. I can't see the beginning from the end. But God knows. Amen.
Amen.
He doesn't have to second guess. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. He says here, I've been wrong so many times. You are also.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, we can all be humble today.
Sure, amen.
You were wrong many times. Amen.
Right.
You are also. Whether you want to admit it or not, you are also. Amen. But not God. If he ever makes a decision, it's got to be the decision forever. Amen? Forever his decision. It's like this. If a man ever come to God and knowed he was lost and wanted to be saved, and God asked him and placed the basis upon if he'd believe it and save that man, the next man comes and wants salvation, he's got to do. Well, I know people's been blessed. Amen? They prayed for God for this, and they saw it in the Word, and God gave it to them, but I don't know about me. And who are you? Amen? Are you more important than everybody else that God can take exception to his promise to you? Amen? We think we're being humble. We're actually being proud. Amen? We think that God's going to omit the Word for us? God doesn't change. Amen? The next man comes and wants salvation. He's got to do the same thing for this man that he did then. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You know, I was ministering here a while back in some different places, and I went one place, and you know, I was ministering. Somebody got healed in the meeting while I was ministering. And I went to another place a week or two later, and I went somewhere, and somebody wanted prayer, and so we went and laid hands on them. They got healed in the meeting. Amen. Now, I want you to notice this. Amen. One person didn't have to have hands laid on them. One person did. Another person might take communion. Another person might have a prayer cloth or an apron. These are all different ways God does it, but I want you to notice the promise was that with His stripes, you're healed, amen? Yes. Not you will be, not you could be. You are healed, amen? Yes. And when God made that promise, now look, Now, when Paul took them aprons, it might not have been written in the Word for him to do it that way, amen? God can do what He wants, but it's still in the Word, amen? It didn't get away from the Word, because He's still the healer, amen? Amen. Look, He didn't take Perklos, and they had $1 million in the bank. Well, if you sow money into my ministry, I'll give you this anointed prayer cloth and you'll have a new house next year. He wasn't doing that. God didn't promise that. Amen? In fact, the Bible says He's chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. Amen? How hardly do the rich enter into the kingdom? Amen? But He did promise that with His stripes you are healed. Amen? Now, God's got so many different ways of doing this. Amen? Why? Because God is looking for us to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Amen? There's a the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a diversity of operations, but the same Spirit, is that right? Amen. It's still the same healer, the same God, but He has a different way of doing things. God does that for a reason.
Amen.
And the reason is so you don't fall back into formula. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That's what creed and church doctrine, that's what it's all about. They fall into a code, or you got to do it a certain way. Amen? And when they do that, God can't show them anymore. See, now they've closed their eyes. They've stopped their ears. We can't learn anymore. Instead of placing a comma at the end, they put a period. We've got it all. Nobody can teach us anything. We can't learn nothing. And as soon as you do that, you cut yourself off from God. Because God can't teach you anything anymore. You think about the Apostle Paul, of all the people on the earth at his time. His revelation, he had the revelation of Christ in his day. And yet he himself could say, I'm looking in a glass darkly. Amen? I don't know now, but one day I will know as I'm known. Is that right? Even Paul himself could admit, man, we're just scratching the surface. Amen? Now, you think about this, because some people, I don't know about you guys, but I know some people got it all figured out. Amen? It's like Brother Bram said, when you think you got it all figured out, you figure yourself wrong. Is that right? God does things different ways because he wants us to rely, amen, on that pillar of fire. He wants us to rely on that inspiration. When you have a need, amen, God wants you to rely on the Spirit. Not just the idea, well, the Bible says do this, let's go do this. But what is the Spirit leading you to do, amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul, they essayed to go down to Macedonia, they essayed to go to these different places in Asia and stuff like that. But the Spirit directed them somewhere else. Now, he was called to preach, is that right? He was supposed to do it. But the Spirit led him to go to a certain location, amen? There was a certain way of doing things. Brother Branham himself, is that right? He'd have the discernment line, and he talked about in America, he said, I feel like I'm in the permissive will of God. I go overseas, I do it one time, we pray for people to get healed, but here they have to have one after the other, and he'd only take certain cases, he only went to the hardest cases, and God rebuked him for that, amen?
That's right.
And you remember in the vision of the third pole, God said, he shows him where he's fishing, is that right? And he loops it through the eye of the shoe, and he's fishing, and all these preachers come up, and they're trying to imitate it. And what's he say? You can't teach spiritual things to Pentecostal babies. Is that right?
Right?
Now, notice what happens when you try to explain something supernatural to carnal people. Like I said earlier, it produces impersonation. Amen?
Right.
So God has to have you rely on the leadership of the Spirit. Amen? Not to try to make it a formula. I'm going to give you a quote here if I can. Maybe this will explain a little bit better for you. Brother Bam talks about this in the Godhead Explained, 1961. He says, I'll tell you what happened the other day. He says, I was down in Texas, he says, the Oneness Church, 72 churches sponsoring my meeting. And I put Brother Petty, the Assembly of God brother, I know his Assembly of God brother here, he says, they put him up on the platform that night. He says, now you know that's true. He's a precious brother. Brother Petty, if any of you know him, from Beaumont, Texas. He's one of the finest men I've ever met. His wife is a converted Catholic, a real sainted woman. Amen. He's a real man of God. Tell me who's a finer man than Roy Weed of the Assemblies of God. Mention any of these men. Look here at these brothers I know around here. Brother, he says, from the Philadelphia church here, the Assemblies of God men. Who's any finer people? Tell me where, he said. Tell me who's a finer man than Jack Moore. Tell me that. Excuse me here a second. He said, they belong to them. He's not a radical. You find radical on both sides. And that's where the people point. And that's what they do today with the message. Amen. Well, look at this guy. He's way off. You can do that with anything.
Yes.
Right. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Amen. You can look at a mechanic and say, well, man, he messed my car. We'll say, well, I'm just going to take my car to a mechanic again. Well, good luck when your car breaks down and you don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, you find radicals on both sides. That's where people point. And that's where the devil points. But they're all men of God. God give them the Holy Ghost. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be gone with our fusses and things. That's exactly right, but the grace of God binds us together. Now notice, it's not church doctrine that binds us together. It's not we go to the Presbyterian church downtown, bind our hearts together in fetters of denomination. Amen? Bring in the sheaves, amen? We're not bound by that, we're bound by the grace of God, amen?
That's right.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that, amen? Because if we were bound by an idea, you and I could be wrong. We talked about that, is that right? But we're not bound by that. God's grace revealed this revelation to us. God's grace gave you the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Bible tells us that His Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Amen? And so His Spirit in you is why you believe this message. His Spirit in you is why you can love your brother and sister that the world hates. Amen? Because He binds us together. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder we can sing, blessed be the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. That's what we need. Then so he says, you know what? The superintendent said over in the church, he called me up. He said, you know what you did last night? And I was pointing out, he's duty bound, is that right? He's like, I'm going to point out a fault here. So he comes to Brother Bram and says, do you know what you did last night? My second night there. I said, what? I said, we had a wonderful meeting. He said, you had a man on your pulpit that was a sinner. I said, I didn't know it. Who was he? The man said, that Mr. Petty. I said, a sinner? Why, he's an Assembly of God preacher, brother. He said, yes, but he's still a sinner because he hasn't been baptized right. Well, hallelujah. And I said, brother, pray tell me why. I said, he's got the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I tell you what, well, I'm just reading this to you. I haven't even started making comments yet. He said, Brother Branham, what did Peter say? Now we believe this, amen? And I believe it's important, but I want you to notice the attitude behind it was what was wrong. Because watch what he says. He says, Brother Branham, what did Peter... He's telling Brother Branham about Acts 2:38. I find this so amazing. I'm like he didn't know. Amen? How many organizations wouldn't have him in because he wouldn't compromise on his water baptism? Right. Now this man's preaching to Brother Branham about water baptism. What did Peter say? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He says, therefore, now that's true, amen? Let's stop right there. That's true. If you need the Holy Ghost today, the Bible commands you to be baptized, is that right? And if you repent of your sins, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that's true, amen? That's in the Word. Now God can do something else too. Because watch what He does. He says, therefore, your sins cannot be remitted until you're baptized in Jesus' name. Now he went a step too far, amen? He went from, you can get the Holy Ghost this way to, now this is the only way you can get it. Your sins can't be remitted until you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See? Now he changed the formula, amen, whether he realized it or not. I like how Brother Bram said this. He says, is that the formula, my brother? He said, that's the formula. I said, God upset his own apple cart then in Acts 10:49. For while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they never been baptized at all. Then God gave the Holy Ghost to people that wasn't even converted. I said, where in the world are you standing now? Amen? Yeah. See, they took the doctrine. See, what Peter preached was right, but they developed a doctrine out of it. Well, now you're still a sinner unless you're baptized away. But God upset his own apple cart, is that right? Yeah. See, God wasn't bound by that. God can do things that's not in the Word, amen? God could give men the Holy Ghost while they heard about the words, gracious words that proceeded forth from Peter's mouth, amen? Oh, am I to think about Peter sitting there in the house of Cornelius hearing about an angel that had come and visited the house of Cornelius. An angel come and said, find this man Peter. He'll show you the way to salvation. And he hears these things, and the Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth. Oh, my. Peter opened his mouth many times in his life.
Sure,
it wasn't good, amen? Usually got him in trouble. I've opened my mouth many times in my life and got myself in trouble, amen? But this time, he begins to speak and says, I perceive. God give him a revelation. I perceive that of a truth, God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
Oh, it doesn't matter whatever nation he's accepted in. God will bless him, is that right? God's looking for somebody who will believe the word, amen? Maybe they don't understand as much as you do, but God's looking to lead people, amen? Because they're not where they need to be yet, that's why he's still leading them, amen? You wouldn't need a leadership if you'd already arrived, amen? Now think about that. God's leading people, and some of us might be back here. some of us, like Brother Kent, we might be up by Mount Zion here already. We might be all the way to the city. Amen.
Amen.
I'm reading the Pilgrim's Progress at home, by the way. And then he might be in the last chapter of the book. I might be in chapter one. Amen. But it's the same God.
Yes.
And he's the same leadership. Amen. And God is able to give these men the Holy Ghost. Now notice, they were still told to go get baptized. Is that right? He was still baptized, but he didn't omit the word, amen. But God is able to exceed the limitations we place upon him, amen.
That's right.
Men that are there on the day of Pentecost, they might have thought, well, this can only be for the Jews, because it's us that are hearing it. Well, you have to be baptized first, but God can give the Holy Ghost to a Gentile,
right,
to a dog, down in the house of Cornelius, amen.
Right.
Oh, why? Because there was a mystery.
Amen.
They didn't know about it at the time. The Apostle Paul comes and he says that he was given a mystery. What was the mystery? Now the Bible talked about how the Gentiles being an inheritance. Is that right?
Yes.
The light of salvation coming to them. But he never mentioned that he was going to include them in the promise. As Paul says, he was going to take of twain and make one new man, that they would be heirs of the covenant.
Right.
They were aliens, the Bible says. They were strangers. God didn't deal with them one bit. Oh, but there was a mystery. God was going to do it. Is that right? There was going to be an olive tree, and he was going to graft some branches in. Amen.
Oh,
yes. Oh, I'm thankful.
Praise.
Oh, I'm thankful. Amen.
Amen.
The Jews, we look at their rejection of Christ, and people could sneer at them, but the Apostle Paul says, now don't you do that. Don't fall from your own steadfastness, because I would not have you be ignorant of a mystery. The mystery that they were blinded for your sakes.
Amen.
See, now without the mystery, without the understanding of it, your thinking is completely different. Amen.
Amen.
But he lets them know, look, these people, they're not cast off forever. God's going to restore them, but they were blinded for you.
Amen.
So don't get wise in your own conceit. Don't be puffed up. Look, you might have grown up in a message church and believed the message your whole life. Look, that don't make you any better than the guy that comes off the street and gets saved. Amen. Because it's the grace of God that did it for us, amen?
Amen?
And if you were raised that way, I'd be so thankful to be raised that way, amen?
Amen,
amen. But that doesn't make you wiser than the guy that didn't, amen? Look, I don't believe this word today because I was smarter than everybody else I used to know. I'll tell you that right now. It wasn't because I was more clever or more educated or because I was stronger, amen? It was the grace of God
Amen.
That would go to the least among men. The basest and the vilest and the worst.
Amen.
It was the grace of God that he comes and said, behold, I show you a mystery.
Yes.
He didn't say, behold, I show everyone a mystery. Behold, the world, here's a mystery. Behold, I show you.
Yes.
It's for you.
Yes.
Woo. Surely it's for you. Behold, I show you a mystery. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to show you something. It's for you, amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what. The Ram talks about this here in God Keeps His Word 57. I just want to touch on this for a minute if I can. He's talking about, now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but they used to have A.N. Allen and all these different guys, and they'd preach about the, when you get the Holy Ghost, you have the blood and the oil run out of your face stuff. And he's talking about this here. He says, that's a lot like a lot of this oil and blood run out of the hands. He says, there's no scripture to it.
Right.
So that's right. That's all this here nonsense is going on in the Pentecostal ranks. See? Impersonation. Amen? That's right. A lot of it is not scriptural, so stay away from it.
Amen.
Look, God don't want you to get mixed up in it, amen? He says, look, if I want you to know something, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Amen. Woo! Glory! Look, if I want, I got, guess what? I'll tell you. You don't have to go hear from the denomination. You don't have to, oh man, I got a new idea, a new revelation, a new book. Look, God will tell you, amen? And how will you know it's God? He'll vindicate it, amen? Well, praise the Lord. So there's a lot of this stuff that says, it's the church. Now watch the attitude. It's the church, and not the Bible. He says, and if it ain't in the Bible, keep away from it. It's the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Bram, he did that all the time. He talked to a Catholic or something and said, well, God's in His church. He said, God's in His Word. Amen?
Amen.
If He's going to judge the world, how's He going to judge it by? Which church is He going to judge it by? Amen? But He's not going to judge it by a church. He's going to judge it by the Word.
Yes.
And this bride, she's not just a group. She's not just a lodge. She's born of the spoken Word. She is the Word manifested. And that's why she has thus saith the Lord. It's not because we call ourselves church. It's because He has called us a bride. Amen?
Amen.
He's called you this. He's given you the revelation. And that's what makes the difference. Not how smart you are. Not how good you look. Not how nice you dress. Not how many years you've gone to church. Not how much money you got. Not how many miracles you can claim to have done. It's because he gave the revelation. God drew the line. God holds the puppet. And I'm so thankful because he included me in it. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, I tell you what. I tell you what, I don't have to pretend to be Pentecostal. I was born that way. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, I tell you what, the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost, that same refreshing. Oh, it's a refreshing. Oh, I'm weary today. I'm worn out today. Laodicea has got me burned down. The Holy Ghost is a refreshing. Amen. It's power to move your feet. It's power to lift your hands. It's power for your voice to give him praise, to give him glory. Amen. Because the mystery's for you. Oh, hallelujah. The world looks at this Bible. The world looks at this Bible. They look at Paul's writings, and Peter speaks about himself. He said that they read his epistles. And they that are unstable, they wrestle with them under condemnation, even as they do the other scriptures, amen? Then stable, they look at this Bible, they see mistakes, they see contradictions, they see failures, they see nonsense. Oh, but hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, you've got an eye salve. Woo! They've shut their eyes. It's a story. Hey, think about that. That's the thing nowadays. Well, the Bible's not literal. It's all parables. Well, yeah, to them it is parables.
Right.
Amen? It's the same thing when Jesus ministered. To the masses, it was just parables.
Right.
Ooh, oh, hallelujah. But to those disciples that were shut in, it was real.
Amen.
It was life.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Peter and the house of Cornelius. God does something he didn't do that way before, but it was still the Word. Peter said, behold, he gave them the Holy Ghost as he did us in the beginning.
Right.
Same Holy Ghost, same power, same life. Not, oh, I got a bunch of nonsense. I'm seeing dust and I'm seeing all this nonsense. The same God, the same holiness, the same life, the same resurrection was in them.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Brother Bram explains, in one place he says, the oil and the blood, the reason that's not scriptural is because that means it's just like the Catholics. They believe in transubstantiation, Lutherans consubstantiation. Basically, that the elements of the communion are turned into the literal blood and body of Christ. That's not scriptural, otherwise he's come again.
Right.
Is that right? That can't be scriptural. He said, I won't drink the fruit of the vine until I come and I have it with you in the kingdom. Is that right? Now how can you do that if it's literal elements? Is that right?
Right.
The revelation. Is that right? Take my blood. Drink my blood, eat my flesh, amen? That's the same revelation that drove 70 disciples away in John 6:66. Is that right? They walked with Jesus no more because they lacked understanding. Now, the other men lacked understanding, but they understood who was speaking. That was the difference. Peter said, I don't understand any more than these guys, but where else am I going to go? Amen? I know what it's done for me. Oh, these other men worked miracles. They had ministries. They were believers. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Look, not everybody's going to be there, I'm sorry to say. Everybody that claims that they're going to be there, I'll see you in the rapture. I doubt it. Well, that's... But I tell you what, I'm thankful because on the flip side of that, amen, there's going to be people that aren't going to make it that thought you were going to be there, but I'm thankful there's people. You got loved ones today. Maybe people are saying they're never going to make it. They'll never make it. And there's going to be people that you didn't think were going to make it, and they're going to be there.
Amen.
Is that right? Oh, hallelujah. Look, there's people that are too busy proving an ox. They're getting married. They've got all these reasons to not come to wedding supper. God will go out.
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
He will go out into highways and byways.
Amen.
He will compel them to come in.
Yes,
he's, if he has to drag them in, he'll drag them in. Amen. Oh, some he saves by his mercy and his grace. Others he plucks like a brand plucked from the fire. Amen. But he's going to have a people. Oh, glory to God. He's going to have a people. Amen. Woo, I tell you what. I'm thankful, amen, because I used to be one of them. Amen. Didn't have a chance in the world. Amen. Didn't have a chance in the world. I didn't have nobody praying for me. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I didn't know my left hand from my right hand, amen. But God,
rich in mercy. God rich in mercy. While I was yet a sinner, he suffered and died and rose. And he called me by name. And he elected me. And he ordained me to overcome. Brother Ken, he ordained you. Oh, hallelujah. Sister Betty, he ordained us. Hallelujah. We are called not to fail. He didn't call us to lose us. He didn't pick us up to let us down. Oh, come on, somebody. He doesn't lose, amen. When will we get a revelation? He never loses, amen. He can't lose. And if he can't lose and he's called you, guess what? There's not one that's going to be plucked out of his hand, amen. Look, he didn't just pick me up one day. I was always in his hand. We have Brother Dave Seiler preached the other day at our church, and he was talking about the potter in the book of Jeremiah, how the potter would take the clay and he molded it. I'm not trying to preach this whole sermon now, but the point he made, the revelation behind it was that clay was always in the potter's hand. It never, when he picked it up out of the ground, when it went on the wheel, it never left his hand till he was done. He didn't say, well, I'm going to sit down and do something else. I got something more important to do. He never once let it go. His fingerprints, his work was all over. When there was a mar in it, he didn't toss it away. He didn't work on something else. He didn't get a manual out. He said, I'm just going to work it right out. I'll do it. Look, the pot has no power over itself to say, why am I thus?
Right.
Well, but he has power. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I tell you what. Oh, hallelujah. Man come to Brother Bram one day and said, well, Brother Bram, we do the greater works, he said. Jesus said, we do the greater works. We do greater works. He said, well, I'd be happy if you just did the works first. Amen.
Amen.
He said, the works I'll do, you do, and greater works. He said, just do the works first. Is that right? People, they want to get into some sort of strange doctrine. Why do they do that? Because they're not satisfied with where they're at.
Right.
But rather than repent and pray and read their Bible like they're supposed to and come to God, listen, if you've got the Holy Ghost, he is your satisfying portion, amen?
Amen.
I don't have to go look for something else. Amen? Because he done gave it to me already.
Amen.
And when people don't have the Holy Ghost, well, come on, somebody. When people never met God, when people just have religion, when they just have excuses, when they just have intellectualism, they become dissatisfied. And I don't blame them, I would too. The problem is they go somewhere else than Jesus. They try to find it in a bottle. They try to find it in drugs. They try to find it in entertainment. They try to find it in Hollywood. They try to find it in politics. They'll look for whatever escape they can. They're looking to satisfy something because there's a need there. The problem is they're going to the wrong place. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, but there's water. There's a fountain of inexhaustible life. It never runs dry. It never runs out. It's always cool and refreshing. Amen? Brother Bam talks about, I'm losing my time here. I guess we're moving to eternity, everybody. We're moving into eternity, amen? Brother Bam talks about in the sign of the end, sirs, he talks about the mysteries of the kingdom. He talks about the scripture. I want to read it to you. He says, he says, now let's note a few of these mysteries. And I want you to write them down. He says, first I'll take what Scofield says here in Matthew 13, if you'd like to type some of them down. If you haven't got a Scofield Bible, you might read what he thinks some of the mysteries are. He says, now in the 11th verse, and he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you, his disciples, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them, but to them it's not given. Amen?
Right.
Incidentally, my title for today, the mysteries of the kingdom. I never did say that. Amen. It says the mysteries here. It says the mystery. A mystery is scripture, is a previously hidden truth. Previously. Now divinely revealed, but which is a supernatural element, still remains despite the revelation. Now, I told you something that Paul said this morning. Is that right?
Sure.
Brother Bam goes through the list of the mysteries here. It's funny because one of the mysteries, and you hear it sometimes, it's the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. But see, now some people's revelation stops there, just like Acts 2:38. Well, clearly that means that we're just supposed to sit in church,
sure,
fold our hands,
right,
say, amen. If they even say that. It says, but producing what? The life of Christ, but the person of Christ performing in you, okay? Not just living in you, but performing in you.
Yes.
Woo. Come on, somebody. It's believing. It's not just faith, it's believing.
Right.
I find nowadays we have the Hindu faith and the Muslim faith. I'm thinking, those aren't faiths anyway.
No, they're not.
But even if you want to call them that, that don't save you. But believing saves you.
Amen.
Believing not in the tooth fairy, but in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not a historical God, but the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Performing in you. Oh, hallelujah. I think that's a whole sermon right there. Amen. Performing you the same works that he did. Amen.
Amen.
These people, they want to do away now with an experience from God. That's nothing but a modern oil and blood running from your hands. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
That's a made up. That's nonsense. Amen. If it ain't in the Bible, stay away from it.
Amen.
But a real genuine, born again, Holy Ghost and fire, keeping me alive.
Amen.
Baptism of the Holy Ghost, that'll seal your soul unto the day of redemption.
Hallelujah.
And that baptism, that seal, it will perform.
Amen.
Speaking in tongues, prophesying. Come on. Oh, my.
Ooh,
man, we get scared of this stuff.
Ooh.
Why, the devil put up a scarecrow? Well, look, the scarecrow, that just scares away the crows. I ain't a crow. I ain't a buzzard. Amen. Don't let the devil scare you. He's nothing but a bluff. Amen.
Amen.
If there's a fake, that means there's a real. Amen.
Amen.
Divine healing, prophecy, the power of God, joy unspeakable and full of glory. They're dancing in the aisles. They're running the pews. Amen. Oh, that's old-fashioned. Oh, that's nothing but a bunch of nonsense. That was before the foundation of the world. Amen.
Amen.
That's jubilee. Amen. That's a glory hallelujah right there. Amen. Ooh, I tell you what. Oh, impersonations. Why? They don't have the mystery. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, but I got it.
Amen.
I got it. See, I've got a reason to dance.
Amen.
I've got a reason to sing. I've got a reason to praise God. I've done heard from my theophany.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've done heard from that worshiper.
Hallelujah.
He was worshiping before there were stars. He was worshiping before when the earth was formed. Without form and void, amen. He was worshiping God. He didn't get tired, Brother Kent. He didn't get wore out. He didn't run out of ways to praise God. Hallelujah. He come worshiping from eternity. I'm going right back to it, amen.
Ooh.
One of the mysteries he says, the pillar, I'm going to skip down just for the sake of time. He goes over about 20 mysteries here, but he says, the pillar of fire returning back. Amen. Come the day of Moses for a first Exodus. Is that right? He coming. The days of Paul for a second Exodus. Ah, but there's a third Exodus. It was a mystery, but now it's going to be revealed. Amen? The thing that's supposed to take place, we see it. He said, oh, I could go on naming the mystery. See, seeing that pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, the same one that struck down Saul on the road to Damascus, the same one coming with the same power, doing the same things, revealing the same word, staying word by word with the Bible.
Amen.
The sounding of the trumpet means gospel trumpet. And the sounding of the trumpet in the Bible means get ready for scriptural war. Well, I don't know what you signed up for as a Christian. Maybe you're discouraged because you got battles. This is what you signed up for. Actually, this is what you were signed up for. You were drafted. Amen. Might as well get used to it. You were going to die if you sat out there anyway. You might as well put your sword on. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
If you're going to die, you might as well die fighting, amen.
Right.
Why do you want to linger in your deathbed with Jezebel and all her whores and all the denominations and die in a bed of death? You might as well die on your feet, amen.
Amen.
Get your sword out now. Put on the whole armor of faith, amen. This is not a time to quit.
No.
Actually, it is. The Bible says quit you like men, but it doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
It means get ready for a fight.
Amen.
Get ready for war, amen.
Amen.
Tighten your belt up. Get ready for warfare, amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm just getting beat up all over the place. Well, I hope you get beaten back up more, amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, have you ever tangled with somebody in a fight? When you start getting beat up, you back off, amen. I tell you, if the devil's still bothering you, hit him back.
Amen.
Hit him back a little harder, amen.
Yeah.
Don't back down when he says boo and he tries to get you all shut up. Just say, look right back in his eye and say, boo, devil.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take your salvation. Boo, devil. I'm going to take your joy. Boo, devil. I'm going to take your health. Boo, devil. I'm going to take your future. You've already got none. Boo, devil.
Amen.
Get right in this. Look, Jesus didn't have to hide from the devil in his temple. He took the thing that you've all got access today. The weakest Christian has, it is written. And he defeated the devil. Because the word of God, hallelujah, will defeat the devil any place, anywhere, anytime, any church age. It will defeat the devil. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my. I got to move along here. I'm sorry. It says, are you getting that scriptural word? Paul said, you can put this down 1 Corinthians 14:8. Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, amen. Amen. I like that. Amen, brother. Is that right? Now think about this. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will a man know what to prepare for? Is that right? And Paul says, now how shall they say amen if they're giving thanks if you don't understand? Is that right? But when you understand, then you can say amen. Amen. Is that right? Some people just say amen, and some people, they respond with amen because they understand it's the word. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what. Hope there's a couple of you here today. Amen. I'm amen myself now. Well, hallelujah. Well, I believe it too. If he says they believe, hallelujah. If it doesn't have a scriptural sound, the vindication of the word made men. Now that's the sound, amen. Not just me talking, but the scriptural vindication. Amen. That's the sound. How will we know we're at the end time? Amen. If he says they believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, and denies his signs and wonders, that the whole realm of nature believed on him. You know, he died, even the sun blacked out. The earth quaked, amen. Nature knew who had died. Them Romans might not have had no clue. One did when he found out, man, even the earth testifying. Truly, this was the Son of God.
Right.
If this message didn't shake the earth, if it's not shaking, I don't know what will, amen. The Bible says he'd speak from heaven once more. He's done it. It'll shake heavens and earth, and this earth today is receiving its shaking.
Sure,
the churches today, they're receiving their shaking. Amen?
Amen?
They're falling away. They're scattering left and right.
Yeah.
We, hallelujah, we have received
Amen.
A kingdom which can never be moved. Amen?
Right.
And I can testify as the Apostle Paul, despite persecution, despite affliction, despite trouble, none of these things move me.
Amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All on the ground is sinking sand. Amen. He says, somebody come forth with a chart and draw it all out. And somebody come forth with another thing, draw this all out. Contrary to this one. Some has come forth and said it's that, coming back this. Others wrote books, things like that. But when God comes in the power of his resurrection, and who is going to speak against it? I tell you what, people today, they don't know they're sealing their own fate. Amen. So many people. God have mercy. Amen. Because I believe there's people that just don't know, and there's people that they do know. Amen. The Bible prophesies them in Hebrews 6. Is that right?
Yes.
It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. He does the same thing he did yesterday, today, forever. That's what this angel is supposed to do. Take them mysteries, them loose ends that people run out on. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Amen. I know I talked about this before, but you think about Abraham's promise of a body change. God never said he's going to change his body, but he did. But he didn't. Is that right? It was hidden. It was a mystery. Amen. He woke up one day and realized God had vindicated. Oh, this is what he was talking about. Oh, I'm going to have a child with her. Wow, she's cute. Amen. Something happened. God vindicated. Amen. And the same God. Now you think about this. The Apostle Paul, he catches a mystery. Now where did he get this from? He saw in the Word. Amen. Christ was buried one way, and he rose another way. Amen. He died. He was buried in one body, but he raised in a glorified body. Is that right? That's why he says, when we shall have a glorious body like it on his own. Why? How do you know that? He explains to the Corinthians, don't you know that every seed brings forth after its own kind? When a seed dies, it's quickened. If you're planted in his likeness, oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If you're planted in his likeness, you have to be raised the same. He can look clear back to the book of Genesis and say, you know what? Every seed brings forth after its own kind. And so if he died as the Son of God and rose up glorious, then the same thing has to happen to us. Oh, but wait, we can't all die. So some of us will not even die. We shall not all sleep, but we all have to be changed.
Amen.
Ooh, I tell you, it's a mystery.
Sure
The world today makes fun of it. They don't even understand a rapture. So now think about this. This message itself is a shout. Amen?
Yes.
When he shouted to send, it was a mystery. They had an idea. They thought, here comes Gabriel in a cloud. And they're going to be like that. And everybody's going to see him. That's not how it was. Amen?
Right.
Now, he still did what he promised. Just not the way they expected.
Yes.
They have a parable or a story about it. But we have the interpretation.
Amen.
That the message is a shout to gather the people together. There's a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And he does all three when he's descending.
Amen.
So if there's still a message, if we're here still here today, where did he go? He didn't go anywhere. He's right here. Amen.
Amen.
The Son of Man didn't disappear. He didn't descend and ascend and descend. God said he was going to descend. Amen. And the prophet vindicates. He does all three while he's ascending. Amen. Ooh, I tell you what. It's a trumpet. It's a time of war. Amen. It's Jubilee.
Amen.
Ooh, I tell you what. He's here. What's he doing? Seeding sonship in us today. Amen. Bringing sonship to pass. He gave us a message. What? To manifest adoption.
Amen.
To manifest maturity. Amen.
Amen.
That we're not just sinners saved by grace. We're not just pew warmers and churchgoers. We are now. We are now the sons of God. Amen. The world does not know, but we understand. We've seen what a son of God is. It's been manifest to us. We are now the sons of God. It's come to bring us to realization that you never were a chicken, Brother Kemp. You never were a pig, Brother James. You were always an eagle. You were always a sheep. And now the dove leads the lamb again. Is that right? The leadership has come to lead you not into condemnation, but to lead you to life, amen?
Yeah.
The vindication. How did he vindicate? By a third pull, is that right? Yeah. I want to touch on this real quick. I say real quick, I'm sorry. But remember, I'm talking about this in paradox. You remember he tells the story about he was at an orchard one day and he saw the brother grafting citrus branches into the tree, is that right? And then the man told him if that tree ever puts forth another branch, it'll produce the original fruit. Ooh. Brother Branham said, and that same tree, that bride tree, that church that was cut down by Rome, it's been restored. Is that right? If it ever puts forth another branch, it'll write another book of Acts.
Amen.
Now, he preaches at a convention, and I believe it was in Phoenix. And the superintendent, man, the superintendents like to call him out a lot. Superintendent come up to him and rebuked him, said, no, I don't think you meant to say it that way. Brother Bram's like, I sure did mean to say it that way. I'm fixing to say it that way. It's thus saith the Lord. That's how it is. Amen. The man didn't like it. Why? Because it identified who he was just as well as it identified Brother Branham.
Right.
It identified he was just a false branch from another tree. But the same word identified that Brother Branham was part of that original tree. Is that right?
Right.
It identifies you today.
Yes.
And when he does it, he said to Brother, I think it's Danny Horton, if I say his name right, the brother that comes up to him, he comes up and says, Brother Branham, that could have been the 22nd book of the chapter of the book of Revelation. Is that right? 23rd chapter, he says. Is that right? Notice, now, he says, I don't mean to sound sacrilegious, but that could have been the next chapter in the book of Revelation, amen? Now, he's not trying to be sacrilegious because God doesn't add to the word, but the revelation was so great, and when he said, now think about this,
right.
When he said that God comes,
amen, that's right,
God comes, and he begins to vindicate this prophet's ministry,
yes.
And a boy that didn't know nothing about French, never spoke in tongues in life, begins to speak French, and three people interpret. Because you have chosen the hard way.
Right.
And it was your choosing. Behold, a great portion of heaven awaits you. A great reward. Is that right?
Right.
Same punctuation and everything. God vindicated that. Now, I find this amazing. Because, and you know how I feel about it already. But that angel that came to John, amen, was a prophet.
Right.
Wasn't an angel with wings and a seraphim. It was a prophet.
Amen.
And it was the prophet whose voice was used to write the book of Revelation. And that same angel is on the earth. Still uttering, not to be sacrilegious, but he could have wrote another chapter to the book of Revelation. Because the same angel, amen?
Amen?
Now you think about this. Oh my. Because that same angel, is that right? That same angel said that John comes and says, I fell, I'm going to read it to you out of Revelation 19. He says, I fell at his feet to worship him. He said, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, amen? Now he talks in another place, I am of you, thy brother, and the prophets. Is that right? Watch what he says. He says, I have the testimony of Jesus. He says, worship God. Amen?
Amen.
For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen? The testimony, look, this message, I'm just going to be real plain with you now. When that book comes to John in Revelation 10, he's got an open book, and he takes the book, and he reads the book. He's told, prophesy again. Is that right? The bride's to prophesy. Well, if we're not all prophets, what are we prophesying? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This message,
Hallelujah.
It's not my testimony. It's not Brother Branham's testimony, a bunch of good stories. It is the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
And the brethren all have this testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Thy fellow servants, they've received it. They've eaten the book. They have the same testimony. And we're not prophesying of ourselves, of our own spirit. It's the testimony of Jesus. Amen. This is talking about Jesus. Can you imagine the mystery? He talks about Revelations 2 and 3. Talking about the angels, just like we're talking about with Mary. Can you imagine if we said Luther would come in the fifth church age and Wesley? Man, you'd have impersonations all over the place. But God vindicates. You know what? This isn't even these men. It's the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the spirit of prophecy. This message you believe today, there's prophetic power in that.
Amen.
There's life in it. Amen. Because it's the testimony of Jesus. Amen.
Right.
It's the very nature of God. Look, Hattie Wright believed it.
Ooh,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that right? If it was good enough for the prophet, it's good enough for Hattie Wright.
Yes.
Praise God, it's good enough for me.
Amen.
I'm not looking for something new, amen?
Right.
Look, I'm thankful, amen? Look, I'm not here to vindicate myself, amen?
Right.
I'm thankful. This message didn't come to help the impersonators, amen?
Right.
Look, you're going to have impersonations. There's always going to be impersonations, amen?
Right.
But I'm not trying. Look, let me say it this way. Maybe I shouldn't even go here. You get a young man or something, they want to be a minister or something like that, and they think they're just going to be the next whatever. They're going to be an eighth church age messenger. They're going to be Malachi 4. Look, I don't want to be those things. I'm not trying to be those things. Carnal people try to impersonate, amen? But if you're a Christian and you're mature, you say, I would just want to be whatever God has called me to be, amen? Because
amen.
My reward is the same as the guy that's got however many gifts.
That's right.
Amen? If I got one talent and I'm faithful with it, I get the same reward, amen?
Right.
A great portion of heaven awaits me because
amen.
He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward, amen?
Amen.
Why do we struggle? Because people want to impersonate something. They think that's being spiritual, and in fact, they're being carnal.
Amen.
Well, I got a bigger church. I got a bigger ministry. You got a bigger ego is what you got.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, oh, hallelujah. Ooh, man, somebody got burned, amen? Hopefully it was the devil. Amen. I was reading this thing the other day, and I might touch on this here in the midweek, just to close with this. I was reading this thing that the International Baptist Missionary Board from the Southern Baptist Convention, they've recently passed a measure to accept people that speak in tongues in their church. Amen. James is laughing. He knows where I'm going with this. Amen. For years, they denied it. They were against it. Now they're over in Africa, and Pentecost is the fastest growing denomination in the world. They have all these Pentecosts they want to bring in the Baptist church. Well, they already speak in tongues, so you can't tell them to stop. Unlike some message people. Woo! Come on, somebody! They can't get them to stop, so they say, well, just adopt their practice. Well, as long as a man doesn't major on it, and that's fine, I agree, don't major on it, man, don't. That's what Pentecost did. But as long as a man doesn't disrupt the church or major on it, they're allowed to come in and say they believe in speaking in tongues. Ministers are allowed to preach now and say they believe in speaking in tongues.
Wow.
And I'm amazed. Because in their great wisdom, they've decided that that part of the Bible is still relevant. Now, for decades, they've blasphemed God.
Right.
Instead, it was the devil. They've mocked it and made fun of it, and you look at early Pentecostals, how they suffered persecution, but now it's okay because they want to grow numbers in their church.
Sure.
Now they want a bigger church. Now it's okay. But look, God didn't change his mind about it. God always felt the same way about it. Look, man's ideas are not going to make you get you in a rapture, amen?
Amen?
They can't produce this, amen? What a bunch of nonsense, that's all that is. I'm thinking, really? Now you're willing to believe because you want more money.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We want more money. We want a bigger church. We want more of this. That's not why we serve. That's why carnal people serve God.
Right.
That's why they want to be a Malachi 4. That's why they want to be an eighth messenger. They want more stuff. They want more appreciation from men. They want honor from men. They want women and popularity and money. Amen? But a real solid Christian. Hope I'm speaking to some today.
Amen.
I'm finishing up, everybody. Hang on. A real solid Christian.
Glory to God.
He's not moved by those things. She's not looking at those things. Right. She says, you know what? I don't care if everybody don't like me or not or whatever. I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
I don't care if people know who my name is or not. Somebody at work the other day, they said they brought up the Lord's name. It's funny because when people do that where I work, they're always astounded that I respond to that name. They say Jesus, and I say, what?
Right.
You say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, they did in the garden.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
When he said Adam, they both turned what?
Amen.
Men, the whole family.
Yeah.
Look, if they're going to use the name, I might as well respond to it, amen? Because that's my name. That's who I am. I'm not ashamed of that, amen. Look, I praise the Lord. You're going to have to believe it sometime, amen. I ain't waiting to be in heaven to believe it, amen. I'll believe it now, amen. You might think that's sacrilegious. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. But to me, that's the testimony of Jesus Christ in me. It's not my testimony. It's His testimony. That's why John was in prison. That's why you suffer things today. For the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God. They'll put you in a Patmos island. They'll forsake you. They won't invite you places anymore. They won't want nothing to do with you anymore. Amen? For the testimony, for this message. Amen? Oh, but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's how they overcome the adversary. That's how they overcome the accuser of the brethren. This message is my power of overcoming. Who am I to forsake it?
Amen.
Oh, my. That might sound sacrilegious to some of you, but oh, I tell you what, it might be bitter in your belly, but it tastes good in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's sweeter than the honey in the comb, amen.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what, we have, amen, the answer to the devil's question. What does he question the word? Has God said you shouldn't eat this? Has God, are you, if you are the Son of God, amen, he asks you the same question. He's kind of unoriginal, the devil. He's kind of unoriginal. In fact, he's extremely unoriginal. He can't invent one thing. He can pervert something. He can impersonate something. He can't create anything.
Right.
So he's always asking the same thing. He's always doing the same thing. Well, if you're the Son of God, you go do this. You go act like this. You go say this. Sure. Prove to me. I don't have to prove anything to the devil.
Amen.
God's already proved it. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
And John saw his name on the book. He had a revelation. The mystery was made known to him. I tell you what, he got a little excited. He got a little excited, amen?
Amen.
He had the answer.
Yeah.
No matter what he puts me through. Now, if I go now, he's stuck on this island. Maybe, oh my. I think it was Brother Banks Woods. He went over one day, I think, to Brother Bram's house. Brother Bram was sitting on the porch crying. And he asked this to me, what's he crying for? He's like, he's upset. He's wondering if he's even called to the ministry. Amen? Here's Brother Branham, an anointed prophet of God. The book of Malachi 4 talks about Revelations 10, talking about this man's ministry. Here he is on the porch, crying, wondering if he's even called to preach. Now, if you can't identify with that, then you must not serve God very long.
Right.
Come on, somebody. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to people here today, I hope.
Right.
I've been there before. It's kind of funny. My ministry grows the most when I pray not to have one. I remember one day I was up praying in my... I was in the corner of the housetop. I love my wife. It has nothing to do with her. I was in the corner of the housetop praying in the closet. I shut the closet and I said, Lord, I never want to minister again. 5 minutes later, I got a call. 5 minutes later, I got a call. Go to a place. That's how I ended up going overseas, actually. God has a way of doing things, amen?
Amen.
It's not always easy, amen? If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Right.
Amen? Here's John in distress. They're on the Isle of Patmos with a bunch of snakes, destitute, ugly, desert, barren, alone.
Yep.
Oh, but to see his name on the book.
Amen.
I tell you what, I bet it was all worthwhile.
Sure.
You say, oh, I wish I could do something like that. You have.
Amen.
You've heard from your theophany when you recognize this message is eagle's food.
Amen.
That theophany, it was represented there. You have
Amen.
Seen your name. Amen.
Amen.
The mystery. not the names, but the name on the book. It's the mystery, and it's you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. John got pretty loud. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope they can hear me. Hallelujah. My name's on the book. The devil can't keep me out. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to keep you long today. I'm stirred up today, Brother James. I'll tell you what. Feeling pretty good. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're thankful today. We're thankful today, Lord, the mysteries that were given unto us, this testimony of our Lord Jesus. Praise Remember the words God. Of the prophet in the token message says that this message is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, so many people, they're looking at the man. They're looking at the veil of the flesh. They look at Brother Branham, the man, and if they had been in Moses' day, they'd have looked at Moses and said, you know what, we're going to go do our own thing. God swallowed those people up. God, may we not be stuck looking at the veil of the flesh today. Not just William Branham's flesh, but our own flesh today. We stumble at the veil so many times. We say there's no way that this flesh can make it into rapture. And that's right. That's why you're going to change it. Oh, hallelujah! That's why you're going to change it, Lord. As the prophet said, you'll right in every wrong. You'll make everything right. Lord, we struggle with our greatest enemy, ourselves. We struggle at work. We struggle in our home lives so often. We struggle in our understanding. Lord, why did things have to be this way? Lord, I was at a graduation the other day. Lord, I remember that young person speaking. How naive it sounded. They had no idea what life has in store for them. So many people, they had no idea that they'd be where they're at today. Lord, I had no idea 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even a year ago, I had no idea where I'd be today. But Lord, I'm thankful. Though there's been trials on every hand, though there's been disappointments, hindrances and setbacks, Lord, it wouldn't be a great victory if there wasn't a great battle. Oh Lord, there's light though. There's light in darkness. There's victory at the end of the tunnel. There's a testimony. Lord, we look today to our lives and our churches. It seems like so many are getting farther and farther away from God. No way it's anything to do with God. Lord, you said yourself. You said yourself, when I come, shall I find faith on the earth? Lord, but just as Abraham was a type, just as Adam was a type, Abraham who hoped against hope, Lord, you hoped against hope. There shouldn't have been one of us here today, Lord. But you prayed in John 17. You prayed for people to be one. You hoped against hope, Lord, when there was no reason for us to survive. When there was no reason for a church in this end time. You prayed anyhow. You believed, Lord. And we're here today because you hoped against hope. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, and their hopes are almost gone. Maybe they've been praying for somebody. Maybe they've battled an illness. Maybe they're just getting tired of serving God. Maybe they just feel like they can't go on. They become weary and well-doing. It seems like all hope is gone. Oh, Lord, but you hoped against hope. Abraham hoped against hope. When there wasn't a shred of hope, he hoped, and it produced a body change. Lord, Abraham had to be nice and old and ready to die. Lord, you weren't going to do it when he was young. You were going to do it when there was no strength in his flesh. When there was no strength in his flesh left to produce the promise, Lord, you would bring it to pass. Lord, we're thankful to look today that we have the faith of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Lord, our flesh cannot produce this promise. Lord, the faster we acknowledge that, I believe the faster we'll go home. How we rely on our own ability. How we rely on our ideas. How we rely on our flesh so much. Lord, I just lift my hands up to you now. Lord, I just want to surrender you. Lord, I
just want to repent of myself, Lord. Lord, I can't make it on my own. I can't do one thing for you, Lord, but surrender to you. Lord, but I believe you're able to take these hands of clay. You're able to take this man, an unclean man in the midst of unclean people, and encourage and purge our lips and give us a fire. You've given us a testimony. Our weakened knees and our feeble hands, you give strength to them, Lord. Lord, when all our zeal is gone and all our hope and the joy of our salvation, maybe there's someone here backslid today. Lord, you can restore. You promised to restore. You did restore, and you shall continue to restore. You're a restorer of broken lives. You're a restorer of broken homes. You're a restorer of sick bodies. Lord, you still give understanding and joy and hope and peace and consolation. Oh, Lord, today how we need consolation, Lord. How we need to be reminded that if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, if the whole world were to come around, if I prayed for 1,000 people and they all died, I'd go to pray for the next one. Because the word is true. Let every man be a liar. Your word is true, Father. Happy Father's Day, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful to even be called sons. Behold, what manner of love that we should be called your sons and your daughters. Oh, we do love you, Lord. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Holy, holy, I will.
right now in Jesus' name. Be whole. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Have access, the Bible says, by one spirit unto him.
Thank you.
We can touch him, amen.
Praise.
He's here, amen. But you know what? I want to sing this song before we go today. The reason we can do that is because he touched us first, amen. Amen. How many has been touched by the Lord?
Oh, yes.
Hopefully you were touched today. How many has been touched by the Lord, amen? Oh, shackled by a heavy you know why?